Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Good Sunday to you. It's KJ Lyons on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're here for about another 40 minutes. Take you up to Red Sox pregame for their final game against Detroit today. That's Gerard Mayo with the now infamous press conference that wasn't long enough for you to have two cookies at, John. And I think it's hilarious that it was so short.
Yeah, it's I still don't get, like, why not just say it the day before when he already had media availability scheduled?
Well, because
instead
I think
trotting it out for a minute. Like, we didn't even have to edit that. We can just play the whole thing because it was so short.
Well, because I think it's Gerard Mayo reminding people that he's the one that controls the narrative when it comes to the football team. Right? If it's an inconvenience for you to be here when I call a press conference, I don't care if I'm out here to give a two-sentence statement. Either you do your job or you don't do your job.
Isn't that a red flag, though, if he has to remind people that he's the one in charge?
Well, he's not telling you I'm the one in charge, but it's a subtle... It's a mini flex, yeah.
He was like, we decided, and then he corrected himself when he said, I decided.
Well, so. because he knows the... Well, I don't want to say what he knows because I can't speak for him. But because this is a media market that will hang on the word I and hang on the word we. So when you say we, does that mean that Elliot Wolf has just as much say as you do? Or when you say I, so does Elliot Wolf have any say in what you do? So when he says I, what he's saying when it comes to the decision of making the determination of who the quarterback is going to be week one, I made that decision. Now, did I confer with or have a conversation with other people? That's something totally different. But I am the one that made that decision. And I think it was probably key that he changed it from we. Because when he says we, he's thinking that we are one thinking body, we are one team, we are one unit. So the decisions we make, the decisions that I make, is part of the decisions that we make. But when you say we to the press, they're saying, okay, well, then who's part of this process? Did Robert Kraft make that decision for you? That's where it goes, and he knows that.
But he said both. So that was
one was
the
correction.
If you're only going to speak for a minute, maybe really drill down what you're going to... Because that's what I've been talking about.
Perfect. He's got to have a teleprompter?
Well, like, that's what I've been talking about, though, is that sometimes these issues he's brought on himself. Like, he said one thing and then said another, or the actions haven't fully... And some of it's rookie mistakes. So, again, I'm not trying to crush him for it. But it feels like with the media, he still has a little way to go to find his footing. And whereas the media is not really that important.
Yeah, because they call plays and run them, right?
It's not that, but it's still an important part in that that's the conduit to the fans, and that's sometimes what his players and assistant coaches listen to as well.
John,
so it's important to be on the same page with what you're doing there.
John, if we are now suddenly the conduit to the fans, I can show you that nobody gets up and turns their TV by hand with a turn dial. About the noise side.
That's what it is. But it's what he said. Like, when he said it was a competition, and then he said it wasn't, and then he said it was, that's not good. That's something he has to learn from. Like, that's mixed messaging.
What if that's to push Drake May? If you feel like
he just screwed up. He wouldn't keep correcting himself
day after
day.
What if that's a situation where you say, hey, this is a quarterback competition, that you want to see if Drake May can push, if you could get a little more push out of him? Because that'll give you a level to see, how does he handle adversity? How does he handle when things are going one way and happen to go another? These are real things that happen with a club, and better to do it before the season starts than in the middle.
But then you wouldn't say right after the Commanders game, he's the second best quarterback, and the next morning say he's outplayed him. Like, that's the issue, is just the mixed messaging.
Well, because now Drake May played better.
Right,
now,
but that's the problem, is the way he worded it. If he had said, oh, he's been better the past week, or lately he's been better, that's a big difference. No, that is a big difference.
I feel like we're counting the amount of rice in a stir fry.
KJ, these things matter. They matter.
To who? To the team or to us?
Both. You don't think players see him publicly say that Drake May's the second best quarterback, and then the next day say, oh, he's actually outplayed him, and kind of be like, what? Like, you don't think that matters in the locker room? Like, oh, well, if Drake Mazel played him, why is Jacoby playing? Like, again, so how he words things is important.
Who do you think it matters more to, the players or to the media?
Us.
Yeah. So how much? So how much does us really factor into Gerard Mayo's thinking?
That's not
for his team.
Like, that's not what I'm getting at. What I'm saying is the mixed messaging. Like you're excusing it away. Like it's okay. Like it's not like he's got to be more
because
consistent.
The season hasn't even started.
Like, he's already had multiple incidents.
John, once the season starts and you're making decisions that involves wins and losses on the field, the messaging cannot be mixed. I totally agree in that regard.
So but doesn't the starting quarterback help determine wins and losses on the field?
Well, that's because he told us already that Jacoby Brissett was going to be the starter. He's the quarterback on week one. Then he allowed it to be a competition. He said, hey, it's a competition. Why? Because what would the noise be? What would the noise? This is where it goes back to us versus them, with them being the team. The noise would be, why isn't this a competition if Drake May is outperforming Jacoby Brissett?
It wouldn't have been like it was, though.
Wait,
because if he would not
would
have been
be.
Like, no.
This
if
is,
he
this
came
is.
In and clearly said Jacoby's the guy, if he had said one thing from the beginning, either A, it's a competition, or B, Jacoby's the guy, either one, and
he said
stuck
that.
To
he
it.
He said B.
Right, but if he had stuck to either one of those, it would not have been the back and forth and the frustration that it became over the course of the month.
Who was the frustration
a lot of
for?
And then guys get asked about it. Then Alex Van Pelt has to talk about it and get asked about it. Then Brissett has to get asked about it. Then May has to get asked about it. Like, that's the thing. I know it's not as important as what he's saying in a team meeting room, but when you say things publicly that don't align or that differ from what your offensive coordinator says or what other guys say, then guys are going to get asked about it. It's going to cause some distractions, and it's a problem.
617-779-7937. Text line 37937. KJ and Lyons still to come. The world-renowned. Would you more likely, I can't even say the name of the damn bit. Would you more likely to rather, I'm not having a stroke. Like saying, that's what's coming up. I think the reason why I'm just kind of in this conundrum in my mouth is because this thing that's going on with Gerard Mayo is happening before there's even a game coached, right? It's like, why all the darts before the man coaches a single NFL game? If you want to throw the darts, I'm not mad if you've got them all lined up in a box, but can you wait until the season starts? I mean, look, what if the guy wins two out of the first four games? Are they going to say, wow, this has really been impressive? Or are you going to hang on, or is it going to be something else?
And it's funny, too, because if you actually look at the way training camp, because I was down there for some of the practices, like how training camp was run, mm-hmm. I actually thought the practices were solid. Like, they were pretty good practice. Like, you know, there wasn't anything that I'm like, oh, this is disorganized or, you know, this or that or anything like that. But I think, like, your question of, like, all right, when is it going to, you know, is he facing more criticism than other first-year coaches and things like that? And I think he is, and I think it's two reasons. One is some of it he's brought on himself a little bit with some of the mixed messages, but the biggest reason of all, beyond anything else, is the guy he's replacing. And that's not fair to him. I know it's not fair to him, but you know it, and I know it.
Who went 4-13 last year.
I know, but who also won 6 Super Bowls. So, like,
well, you're not going to win 6 Super Bowls in one season.
I know.
Or in a preseason.
That, I know it's unfair to him, but we see it every single time a legend gets replaced, the next guy always gets extra scrutiny. And it's always unfair. But it's happened with every team that's ever been successful. That next guy always gets extra scrutiny. It's always unfair, and it usually doesn't go away for at least a couple years or so.
So, about the scrutiny, again, he hasn't played in an NFL, he hasn't coached an NFL game yet. Why can't the scrutiny start then? Right, like you. Like,
well, we also do have a daily talk show today.
Well, that's true, but yeah. but the other thing is, I try not to be contrived about things that don't need to be contrivable. So when you mentioned about the practices, and this will get to a great point, I think is a great example, and some may disagree, that's fine. You remember when you said when Matthew Judon was having his issues and that a couple of guys had come out late for stretching, and we had gone off about it on the show, and I said, hey, look, this could be a very big problem if it doesn't get nipped in the bud, because then you could potentially have one side of people who are sympathizing with Judon and feel his plight and so forth and everything, and it could be a colossal mess. Guess what? That mess isn't even there.
Yeah, and I will say that's a great example, too, of something I think Mayo did a good job with, in that I was there one day, bunch of guys came out late to practice, really aggravated me, and I just thought it was a bad look. But then I was there in subsequent practices. No one was late. So you know it was addressed.
You know, they listen to KJ Lyons.
Yeah, of course, right. And you know it was addressed, and you know Mayo took care of it. So to me, I was like, oh, that's a good example of something happened. He nipped it in the bud. He learned from whatever needed to be learned from, and it was corrected. Like that. And to me, with a rookie at any position, and including head coach, that's what you want to see, like this Judon situation. Right, I want to see, can they learn from this situation so we don't see a back and forth out on the practice field and we don't see it lingering halfway through training camp before he gets traded? Because the end result was good, right? Hey, you got a third round pick and you didn't have to pay him either, and he didn't really want to be here at that point. Like, the end result was good. Can they learn some lessons from the process so 2 years from now, when it's Christian Gonzalez or Keon White or someone else, or even an older player, let's say 2 years from now, Juwan Bentley wants one more deal or something, can they learn from it and handle it a little bit better? And that's also Elliot Wolf, too. That's not just Jerod Mayo. Like, Jerod
Mayo, clearly, because he's the one that makes the deal.
Right. Jerod Mayo is more the public face, right? But Elliot Wolf is a big, I mean, that's the thing, right? They fire Bill. The whole thing was, all right, we're going to work together now. It's not one guy making all the decisions. It's a executive vice president of player personnel in Elliot Wolf and a head coach in Jerod Mayo. So that's, and that's something, too, because a week from today, KJ, they're playing their first game. I want to see, what mistakes do they make against the Bengals, and how do they learn from it, right? Because that's what this year is going to be about, too. You want to leave this season feeling good about Drake May and feeling good about Jerod Mayo if you're a Patriots fan. I think a big part of that is, do they learn from any mistakes and or rookie growing pains that they get?
So here's the other side of that coin. How close do they keep this game against a playoff-caliber team? Right, if this is a game that's in the balance towards the end of the game and they just have more talent than you do, then those are things that work themselves out over the season. That's why I say I'm not looking, like last year, the last couple of years, what we saw were consistent mistakes. I think the narrative of not being an error repeater, which is going to be, I think that's going to be brought over from the Belichick era, that lingo. You don't want to be an error repeater. You saw nothing but repeated errors after errors after errors. And I think if Jerod Mayo is going to have any chance, the first thing he's going to have to tackle is not having error repeaters. So if you see, that's why I say, I think this Patriots team, yes, they're going to lose a bunch of games, but they're going to be a bunch of games where you're going to find the game compelling enough to say, wow, they're still in it, and there's probably 7 or 8 minutes in the fourth quarter, and this is still a game. And to me, that would show progress of a team that's heading the right direction than to say, okay, well, they're making mistakes here, they're making mistakes there, they're making mistakes there. Sometimes the mistake might just be you just don't have the creative talent on the field that they do.
And I think that's a key thing to focus on, because last year they played the Eagles in week one. And we even had a guest from Philly on who told us that Jalen Carter was going to be the next Warren Sapp, right? And we're sitting here thinking, man, how are they going to block those guys? And it's a close game. They have the ball at the end with a chance to win. What happens? Well, the offense fails in a key situation, right? Kayshon Boutte doesn't get his feet in bounds. Obviously, Mack had that big interception early in the game, too. But the offense fails in a key situation. And we walked away from that game thinking, oh, hey, they played the Eagles close. Like, maybe they'll be okay. And then what kept happening was the offense kept failing in key situation after key situation. It never got better, and they never got over that. And then they lost a close game to the Dolphins. Then they got blown out by the Cowboys and Saints. Then they lost more close games later in the year.
The Saints one was even worse. That was the worst.
That was one of the worst I've ever seen. But my point being, they never improved on those things. And what I think you're watching for with Mayo this year is, okay, if they make a mistake in a key situation against Cincinnati, do they make the same mistake against Seattle? And if, or if they make a mistake against San Francisco, do they make the same mistake 5 weeks later against Tennessee?
Look, I have to get to that, but we got to get to break. 617-779-7937. Join the conversation, KJ and Lyons on WEEI. We talk more Patriots. Plus, we still have Would You Rather, More Likely To, Either Or. See how I've calmed down and was able to say it cleanly?
Best segment on the show.
There you go. And the EA College Football Challenge still to come with KJ and Lyons. But right now, it's time to trend with Jacob Lassner.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox were defeated by the Tigers 2-1. Tarek Skubal dominated. He pitched 8 strikeouts. Nick Pivetta came away with the loss. He allowed 2 earned runs in 6 innings. The Sox hitting continues to struggle during the most pivotal point of the season. They also currently sit 3.5 games outside the third wild card spot. The Twins lost last night as well, and they currently have that third spot in the wild card race. Alex Cora had this to say after the game.
It was good. It was good. Battle, made some pitches, gave us a chance to win. You know, if we keep pitching this way, from tomorrow on, it'll be fun.
The Sox are back in action today at 1:40 in Detroit for the last match of their series on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Will Fleming and Lou Maloney are on the call. Cooper Criswell is on the mound for the Sox. No starter announced yet for Detroit. Joe Weil has the MassMutual pregame show at 12:40. MassMutual, insurance, planning, investment. Some other games to look out for around the MLB with wildcard implications. Toronto is playing against Minnesota. That game's at 2:40 p.m. The Bruins signed longtime veteran and 2-time Stanley Cup champion Tyler Johnson to a tryout contract. He last played for the Chicago Blackhawks. The San Francisco 49ers' first-round draft pick Ricky Pearsall was shot during an attempted robbery in San Francisco. He is recovering right now, and he's expecting to make a 100% full recovery. College football week 1 is underway. Boston College football game 1 at FSU is tomorrow night at 7:30. John Mitterparel will be on the call from Tallahassee on 8:50 a.m. WEEI. And the Revolution lost 2-0 to Real Salt Lake last night. My name is Jacob Lassner, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Guy.com.
KJ and Lions, WEEI. Thank you for spending your Sunday with us. We take you up to Red Sox pregame with Joe Weil at 12:40, getting ready for the Detroit matchup. Look, it's just been a very interesting day here on the show. John, we had announced here the breaking news that 900 hotel workers in Boston are on strike right now. Hilton Chains and the Copley. Seaport, Logan Airport is another Hilton. Like, no cook staff, no wait staff, front desk.
That Logan Airport Wilmington. One is a pretty nice hotel, actually.
That's going to be
like
a pretty
big hotel. Problem.
Do you know how many people are flying in and out of Logan for the holiday weekend?
Oh, yeah.
And how
are coming flying in to like go to like to move into college and stuff?
Well, here's the other part of that is it's, and this is not saying one hotel's, but it's the most convenient hotel next to the airport, right?
Like, oh yeah.
It's like, huh, I don't need to take there's a shuttle. I can walk over to my, you know, it's that close and they've got nobody cooking your food, checking your room at the front desk. 900 have walked out, man. But you find out because that, because think about it, you're talking to you, like, this is all that sports and you didn't even know. At least if you're riding like with your significant other and you guys are about to check into a hotel or go, because you listened to KJ Lines, you found out something outside of sports that might affect your life.
And we had a professional bowler on, somebody I've never talked to before.
Yes, Nate Purchase from Marlboro, Mass, 21 years old, will be in the PBA tour next year. Two-handed style, maybe one of the originators. Now at the top level.
Highlight for me, though, is when the Coleman Electric guy called.
Yeah,
me.
That
was the highlight for me. I appreciated that.
And mentioned that he's the one that made the nasty ranch balls on the Greg Hill show earlier this week.
Told us the recipe?
Think about it. He called KJ and Lyons. So that means he listens to Greg Hill and listens to KJ Lyons.
Yeah, and he gave us some good insight.
That's true. And he did not cook it with electric. He cooked it in oil. Because, you know, when you're the electric guy, you figure like, okay, like you probably got some rigged up like hot air machine to do this stuff and didn't do it. You know, so we're 10 minutes away from would you rather more likely to either or. Let's go to Ray and Revere. Ray, thanks for calling KJ Lines. Good Sunday to you, my man.
Hey, thanks, fella. Same to you. Hey, guys, I have a rhetorical question I'm going to ask of you, but I think it there's thousands of fans out here that are asking the same question, which is, what's in it for me as a Patriots fan this year? You know, the apathetic or indifferent fan. And I was a huge fan, but I've been disillusioned over the last 5 years. And when I look at this team, I actually think it would be detrimental to on development level and on a potential injury level to play May. But the team has no stars. It's just uninspiring. The three prominent decision makers in the organization, AVP, Mayo, and Wolf, have zero combined experience in their jobs. They lost their two best players from last year, Barmore and Judon. Don't have a left tackle, are $50 million under the cap. And I look at this and I'm like, to what end? Really? Do we want to rush this kid in? But what is the entertainment value of this product for guys like me?
Thanks for the call.
It's a great question, right? So, like, because the casual fan or the fan that just wants it for entertainment, it's funny because if you look at the Patriots this year, this is a little bit nuanced here, but there's not, I think, going to be a massive entertainment factor, but there are a lot of things that are interesting, like in the development of May, the development of Jerod Mayo. Is Christian Gonzalez going to be healthy for a full year and take a jump forward? How's Jalen Polk going to look, right? But I think when you have a year like this, where going into the offseason and really throughout the entire offseason, it's felt like they're focusing more on 2025 than 2024, you're going to have that issue where, hey, the entertainment factor, the buzz factor, really not there or not nearly as much as what we're used to.
John, I can answer that in six words. Everybody watches a car crash. Everybody watches a car crash. So there's a bit of a mini car crash happening. Now, what's fair about Ray's comment is for the last 5 years, that takes us back to 2019, and I think that was disillusion central, right? Okay, Tom is gone. You didn't do everything to keep him, and all he wanted was one thing. These other things you could have put around him. And in fact, you would have had people come, which leads to this other thing that Ray, I think, points to the rhetorical is, will it ever really be entertaining again if players are turning down coming to New England because of the cost of living, because of the lack of excitement of things to do, you know, or places to go and see and so forth? The players, what they want in their personal time may not necessarily match the New England lifestyle. So will we ever see that again because of the way the players see the area, the way the area is taxed, and maybe you convince them all to live in Maine and drive them down, right? Like, do you do that?
Well, you play
for the team.
In the NFL, and really in all sports, there's two things primarily that attract free agents or guys that want trades and want out. Right?
Historically.
One is money, and the other is winning. So the Patriots, for 20 years, they had the winning thing in the bag, and at times they would pay guys top dollar if they really wanted them. Now, you don't have the winning thing. You haven't had the winning thing since 2021, so you don't have it really at all now. And your connections even to winning are gone, right? The guys that have won Super Bowls, coaches that have won Super Bowls, those guys, I think they only have like two or three guys on their roster that have won multiple Super Bowls now. So like the winning is gone, the connection to winning is gone. So now it comes down to money. And if you offer them similar money to somewhere else, like and I don't know what the exact numbers were.
They offered more than what IUK took.
They're in the neighborhood at the very least.
Wait. And they were the ones that started that conversation. Like, IUK can't go back to San Francisco and say, okay, well, this is what I now want because they were willing to give it to me. You could have taken it right then. It was, what was it, almost $2 or $3 million over market?
Yeah, and I think IUK ended up getting $76 million guaranteed. So, like, we don't know for sure if New England offered $76 guaranteed, but I'm sure it was in the – I believe it was in the neighborhood. And
well, the guarantee was that IUK didn't want to be here.
Right, and he chose somewhere else. So that's where Elliott Wolf's job is so crucial. And, look, the GM of every football team, their job's important. But when you have a team that doesn't have the winning aspect and the financial aspect is an additional hurdle with some of the things around here, you have to draft really well. Like, you absolutely have to draft really well because you're not going to have the winning thing, and the money thing is going to get you maybe some guys, but not as many as other teams.
Well, it's going to feel like this is a small market team, not in terms of size, but it's probably going to be viewed or similarly approached as a small market team now. I know that doesn't sound very well. So,
yeah. I mean, I think that's embarrassing, but I don't think you're wrong. Not saying you're wrong. Right. I just think for it to come to that would be embarrassing.
It can happen because just the same way you don't know how dynamics change in technology, you don't know how dynamics change, especially when you've had a 20-year dynasty, right? Like, because of 20 years, you do it a certain way. You don't have to make changes. People have to make the changes to what you're doing. But when that time ends, you know, this is why you have to, this is kind of a wait-and-see period. So I guess to answer a rhetorical question is, why would you watch the Patriots? Is because you would almost have to feel like either you're getting in on a ground floor in a stock that you're going to see grow, and you feel like that with Drake May, you could see that and be there and not leave, or you could say, damn, this thing about to become a penny stock. So that's why you would watch. I know I would watch. It's like, wow, I could see this getting inherently worse. And keep in mind, Drake May could be in there when that happens. Or I can say, hey, I could see this getting inherently better, and there's a story there, and they've got a new quarterback who can take them towards that goal. With Mac Jones, I think it was just kind of like, we just need something to make us feel good, right? Leave the money on the dresser, pretty much was what.
Thank you.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.